So I was always hopping around to these jobs where it put me in the experience because that's the only way I could have the experience.
Welcome to the Guides Gone Wild podcast. What is Guides Gone Wild, you ask? This is where you'll fill your ears and minds with the stories of your everyday, extraordinary women who will inspire you to take your outdoor adventure game to the next level. Whether you're starting your journey from the couch or the trailhead, this is the place for you, so let's get a little wild. Welcome to Guides Gone Wild. This is Jen sliding in better late than never this week with my fabulous new friend, Taryn O'Donnell from the Taryn It Up podcast. Taryn and I met through a women's podcasting group, and even before I listened to her podcast, I realized I had to have her on because she's been living a life that a lot of us, or maybe it's just me, glamorize and feel a little bit envious of. Picture snowy woodlands, gorgeous mountains and lakes, skiing, snowmobiles, yoga, Abby training at a craft brewery. It's Lake Tahoe, for crying out loud. You know the jam. But the reason I wanted to invite her on was not to give myself an even worse case of FOMO. It's because Taryn also keeps it totally real when it comes to talking about the hard and challenging things that can be part and parcel of living the dream, in air quotes. There's so much good stuff here. Taryn has done a great job of tearing up the list of traditional expectations that society tries to guardrail girls and women with. She's also been super creative in the way she's crafted a life she can live on her own terms, up to and including recognizing and problem solving for the burnout and financial challenges that pop up like annoying whack-a-moles as a result of her seasonal, outdoor-oriented lifestyle. The thing I love most about doing this podcast is the sheer volume of amazing people I've been able to connect with through it. And another thing I love almost as much is bringing amazing people together as a result of Guides Gone Wild. So without further ado, it is my great pleasure to connect you with Taryn O'Donnell of TKO Yoga and Fitness and the Taryn It Up podcast. We're total pros. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, Taryn O'Donnell, welcome to Guides Gone Wild this fine morning.
Thank you. I'm so excited to get to chat with you, Jen, outside of our little Wild Women podcast group.
A little pod. I know.
Yeah.
So Taryn, I kind of got to know about, and we don't know each other very well. So this is going to be fun because like I wanted to keep it fresh because Taryn and I are in a podcasters work group with some women that actually we probably both got into around Emily Holland, who was a very early guest on this show and now lives out west, and somehow you knew about her too, right? Or was it, or did you know Angie first?
Well, I met both of them separately, actually. So it was kind of cool that they knew each other too. I met Emily at an outdoor media summit in 2022. We were in like a little group together. She did some talking there, a little monetizing. I think it was on social medias or a podcast thing or something. It was a quick chat she had. So I met her there, and then we were in a group together, like doing this scavenger hunt thing. And then fast forward to fall of 2023, this past October, I met Angie in person because I helped organize the group. Well, I helped organize, tried to help organize some podcasters coming to the event Swell put on the Outspring.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
I reached out to Angie about coming and chatting. And so I got to meet her in person there. And then at that event, I did quick little interviews with all the vendors and speakers and stuff there, or with a handful of them, rather. I shouldn't say all. And so then, yeah, it came out that Angie knew Emily. And so I started following them both. And that's how I found the Wild Women Podcast Society.
And actually, that's probably how I found Outspring in the first place, because I was maybe listening to one of yours. So yeah, it's just an interesting environment. And part of the reason I wanted to have you on is because you are not an East Coaster, and I almost exclusively interview people who are from the East. And I do think that a lot of us have this like whole vision of what it's like to live in like Tahoe or, you know, Denver or whatever. And it's totally fueled by amazing pictures on Instagram, you know, I'm old enough to realize that nothing is as it seems on social media usually, but also you do, you know, there is, it's beautiful out there. I mean, there's no getting around it. But what I love about you, now that I'm, you know, just kind of getting to know you very, very ancillary satellite, is just like, there's always a story behind the story. And you're somebody who has so many interesting things going on in your life. And yet I also think you share my struggle of like, you have too many things you're interested in, not enough focus, you know, totally always frustrated with yourself about not getting shit done, but yet you still have so many interesting things going on in your life. And I want to hear all about it because I'm like, then I looked at your freaking LinkedIn page and I'm like, good Lord, she's got like 27 other things I didn't even know about going on. So, all right. So here are the things that I'm hoping we'll talk about today. So first off, Taryn, you live like, do you live in a trailer in the back country?
Yes, I mean, I don't consider it super back country. You know, we're it's
Well, no, I mean, it
gated.
looks beautiful. If that's where you are right
Totally.
now, it's freaking gorgeous. It's not like it's like a janky place, but I'm
Yeah,
like,
no, totally.
I saw a picture of you holding like a, like a septic, like clean out pipe. I'm like, what the hell? And this, you're surrounded by trees and beautiful snow and everything. All right. So there was that one thing. So I'm going to give a quick overview and then I want you to dive into all these things. Then I know that you're a wrestling coach, which to an East Coaster, I don't know, maybe I'm totally oblivious to this, but like women involved in wrestling out here, I don't think is like, if it's happening at all, it's like super new. And I'm
It's
like,
probably happening more over there than here, honestly.
you
But like
think?
a little bit southern, like
Yeah, like New York and stuff.
Pennsylvania,
Yeah.
Iowa, like
Okay.
huge. But yeah.
I was like, what? Oh, that's cool. And you know, and like your personal trainer, you worked on it in on a fishing boat in Alaska. Like you have this great podcast that you talk to all these people. Like you, I've just been listening to the like the last couple episodes. You had these like amazing guests on that you have access to out because you live where you live and it's like amazing. And you do what you do. And I'm just like, I can't even get over it. So I want you to tell me a little bit like, how did this all happen? And you know, but I don't know, from the perspective of an East Coaster, like there's all this stuff looks so interesting and like so much, which I'm sure it is, but I don't know. I just want to hear all about it because
Well,
crazy.
I guess if we dive in kind of from the beginning, is wrestling's probably going to be the first topic just because like that's kind of the order in which things happened in my life because I started wrestling at 8
And where are
and
you from originally? Where were you born? Where were you raised, like little kid?
Washington State.
Okay.
So, in Tacoma, Washington, just a little bit south of Seattle. I think a lot of people know of Tacoma because the airport's like SeaTac, if you're familiar with Washington State at all. But so yeah, I grew up there, and my brother started wrestling when he was 8, and we're 4 years apart. So by the when I was 4 years old, you know, we got into it pretty fast, dove in as a family. And so those 4 years between when I started and he started, I was just around it all the time and on the mat and, you know, kind of like his little practice dummy. And I actually started out, I was a cheerleader. You know, this is a 4 and 5 year old like cheerleader. You're not doing much, it's just sitting on the mat looking cute. And then, yeah, I decided I wanted to do it myself. There was a family that was heavily involved in the team we were on who had 2 girls and they were wrestling too before they were 5, I think 5 and 6 years older than me. So they were wrestling. So I'm like, okay, I see Trisha and Selena doing it. Like, I think I'm ready to try. And my dad was, I think, a little like, oh, hesitant, like at first, but not much. He wasn't going to tell me no, that's for sure. And neither was my mom. And so, yeah, I started wrestling as well. And we kind of, like I said, we dove in, we wrestled almost year round for quite a while because there's a lot of different styles of wrestling. Well, not a lot, but there's folk style and freestyle. Freestyle is the Olympic, what they do in the Olympics, one of the disciplines they do in the Olympics. So folk style is like what we do in the schools and like middle school, high school, and things like that. So yeah, we did that. I wrestled. I actually stopped wrestling in high school for the first couple of years just because of where I was with weight and there wasn't many girls at all.
I was gonna actually ask, like, so when you're like an 8, 9, 10 year old, is it just co-ed? Like you're just wrestling kids that are your size,
It
basically.
is, yeah, it's still co-ed. So it's girls wrestling has come really far in the last, I mean, since I graduated. Washington State was one of the first sanctioned states, meaning that they had a girls wrestling like program and team and things back in, I think it was 2007 or 2008 that they actually did it. But yeah, I got to high school and I'm like 140 pounds. And I'm like, man, once you get to high school, you know, it's between freshman and senior boys, they're all in those weight classes. I'm like, I could be wrestling, you know, a 17, 18-year-old guy at 140 pounds. He's going to be built a lot differently than I am at 140 pounds. And so my brother was in high school then too. So I was a man, I managed the team. I knew how to score and all that. So I was the team manager. And then the end of my sophomore year, this is when they initiated the first Washington State women's state. And one of my coaches came to me and asked me, like, "Hey, you want to do it?" And I'm like, "What? I haven't like been on the mat in almost 2 years. I'm not about to. I didn't want to like go out there at the end of the season and try and wrestle in this." But then my junior year, I was like, "Okay," I came back onto the mat, and yeah, so I wrestled just because I knew there was an opportunity for state. But throughout the season, I wrestled boys, and yeah, it's 160 pounds then. Wrestling boys, it was not easy because it was a whole ego thing. Like, I went from wrestling from young, winning, doing very well, that I was like, I don't want to just take this switch now and lose because of where I'm at, like the physiological differences. I wasn't ready to, I didn't want to take that on. But yeah, in my junior year, I was just like, whatever, let's give this a go.
Yeah.
So
That's
yeah,
like
I got back in the last
it's
year.
interesting that it parallels like things like STEM education and all this other stuff where like, girls and boys are just like wee, 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 and then all of a sudden, girls feel, like they can't do it and boys are, ugh,
Yeah,
anyway.
well, around that, I mean, it actually starts in middle school that's where you see the biggest drop off of girls in sports because the puberty starts to happen and things start to change. And it could be obviously interest of social constructs and things like that, where girls start to like, oh, I want to, I don't want to be this way or that way. I want to be a, like, quote unquote, tomboy or athletic or, whatever. So many reasons that it happens. But I mean, I still played sports. I played softball and soccer as well. So
Yeah, but
I never stopped
wrestling.
doing those. I started doing those when I was young. Yeah.
Yeah, but wrestling a
Yeah.
boy
So
in
in
middle
those kind of
school, it's like,
sports.
okay, I'm getting boobs and my
Yeah.
period. Yeah, I'm gonna get on a mat with these kids that
Exactly.
I see in class every day. Maybe not.
Yeah. So that's where it's awesome now to see the growth. And I think there's 45 sanctioned states now in the country. And so that means in high school, there's girls wrestling teams or divisions. And obviously, depending where you're at, like, there's not a lot of, you might not be wrestling other girls the whole season. You still may be wrestling co-ed, but they have like girls regionals that go into state now. Whereas the state tournament, when I first started, it was just a round robin. Like, everyone goes to state. And there's so much competition. I mean, it's grown so much in college. It's the fastest growing NCAA sport, I think, and multiple Division I schools now. Because when I left high school, I did get an offer to go to a college in Oregon, Pacific University. It was a D3 private school. And so they couldn't offer any athletic scholarships. I could try to get like academic and things like that. They were one of the top 10 schools in the nation for women's wrestling because they did have some college opportunities, but nothing like today. But at that point, I'd been wrestling or in around it since I was four, that I was like, you know what? I was ready to just kind of go off to college and not have any commitments. I played sports, like I said, like year round. I definitely was kind of burnt out and looked at college as like, I'm gonna fuck around. And I did that. And yeah, you can
Yeah,
look back and be
exactly.
like, shoot. But that's just where I was at that point in time. It's like I didn't want it. But
Yeah.
yeah, it was a journey. So wrestling's been super important in my life. I mean, I think it built had a large part in building who I am and my character and things like that. And so when I came to Truckee, fast forward to like, a decade later or something, and I found the Truckee Wrestling Club, I got involved. And so since like 2017 or 18 or something, I was involved with the youth program. And then eventually, when the high school program kind of kicked back up after COVID, I was asked to be an assistant coach there. So I've spent 3 seasons helping out with the Truckee High School team. But unfortunately, we had one girl 2 years, and this year we had no girls. But we'd really like to build the girls program there. But overall, for me, it's just this, I think the sport can do so much for people and kids, and especially kids these days. I think it's a really great kind of self-discipline and mentally tough sport that it could do a lot of good in our children's society today.
Yeah. And this is coming from somebody who's not old like me making those comments. So that's an interesting perspective. All right. So we got the wrestling, which is
Yep.
still like pretty freaking cool if you ask me. I'm guessing that the Alaska sidebar was next.
Yeah, pretty much that was the next big thing. So then you spent a few years, I went to just community college, and after I got my associate's degree and was trying to transfer to a university, I didn't get into the school of my dreams. I got denied twice from Western Washington University. It was around this time that they had really gotten kind of stringent on on things. I did not have the best grades because, like I said, I totally went into like college of like, nope, no one's
Yeah, we
telling
have
me what to do
perspective on what you're
anymore. Yeah, I like really did a 180 there in not the best way, but you know, I made it through. But anyways, I wanted to go to Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington to study kinesiology. And when I didn't get in like twice, I was like, okay, well, what now? And my best friend at the time was going to the University of Washington. Tacoma had a campus. She's like, just go there because it's like it's so easy to get in and like just keep, you know, don't lose your momentum or steam or whatever. So I was able to transfer there, and I had they didn't have many offerings for majors, just general ed. And I went for the qu first quarter, and I was paying out of my own pocket. My parents were like, they paid for community college, but they were like, anything else, you know, we can't cover. You got to figure it out. And I was like, I did have to take a couple classes that I just did that didn't transfer over or something. So I wasn't at the point of taking courses I really wanted to or cared about. But also, they didn't have a degree that I wanted. It was all just going to be kind of general ed. So I was like, this is so dumb. Like, I am working, going to school, paying for something that I don't even want to do. I'm not into this. So I took a break from school, and I then ended up moving up to a ski resort, living in a trailer, and to Crystal, Washington, worked a season up there and met a bunch of people who had worked at a zip line course in Alaska. And then I ended up doing that. I went up to Alaska for a summer and worked up in Ketchikan, Alaska at a zip line course, and I did that 2 years in a row. And then after that, I mean, this just, it's a huge spiral to get to where I am.
Yeah, but I
But
think like why I'm loving listening to this, because actually, you know, like my older daughter is in the throes of like applying and in all honesty, being disappointed about college right now. And I think it's really easy to fall into, you know, a scarcity mindset and feeling like life is slapping you and you're like, I have nowhere to go, I have nothing to do, I'm such a loser. And I'm like, if you're open to opportunity, I mean, so far, I'm like wishing that I spent my 20s doing all of the things that you did because, like, instead of, you know, I mean, granted, I had fun in college too, but you know, I was very much nose to the grindstone, oldest child, got to make this happen, you know, got to go here, got to do this, got to get a job, and then you look back on it like whatever, 30 years later, and you're like, why was I in such a hurry to have like a mediocre life? I don't know.
But
It's
that's what, you
you don't
know,
have that
that's
perspective when you're young, but it sounds like you kind of did and just like went with it, which is awesome.
I did, and I was really lucky to have support. You know, one of my really good friends, she went straight to college, got her bachelor's, almost double majored, and then found snowboarding. And you know, I started snowboarding not much longer not much longer before her, but at 17, because we were in the city, so it wasn't like super easily accessible in the sport. And it was expensive, you know. So anyway, she graduated and then found it, and her parents were like, okay, here, you have a year, go have fun. And after that, you know, she fell in love with that lifestyle and the outdoor industry and kind of being around that. But they were like, heck no, we paid for this education. Like, you need to get it together, girl, and find a job and whatnot, almost like a you owe us kind of thing. And I mean, I understand parents, like, I get it, you paid for it, in especially generational wise, like you have a perspective of this is what your child needs to do to be successful in life. But obviously, we know success looks so different. It's different to everybody else. And that's the thing, is generationally, it was like a linear path. And that's kind of what my podcast is all about, is that these paths aren't linear, and it doesn't have to be a linear path. But yeah, I was really lucky to have parents that, like I said, they've told me in the first place with college, like, we can't pay for it. My dad is an electrician. He was like super open about trades, and you know, that's an opportunity for us to go into, and very much like kind of follow the wind. They were really young parents too, so I think they had that perspective of, we didn't get the chance to go do any of this. By, you know, 21, they had one kid and another one like not far behind. So I think that they kind of got to live vicariously through me. So I had the support there to take these chances and whatnot. And, you know, not getting into the school I wanted and following this kind of linear path is where I really got to sit and think about, like, what do I want to do? And I saw people, I knew a couple people like river rafting and guiding and doing that kind of thing. And I was like, how the heck do I do that? It felt so far away. being in a city and not having done that myself, that I was just constantly trying to figure out how the hell do I get in the outdoor industry? How do I crack in? So it was amazing once I moved up and started working at the ski resort and met these people. I'm like, wow, I'm like one step closer. And then got into it, and it feels like once you can crack that door, it's networking. Everything in life is like networking, really. You meet people and you're just exposed to things you weren't too exposed to before. You find these opportunities that you didn't even know existed. So it was really awesome. I got into yoga when I was up there in Ketchikan, and I decided I wanted to go get my 200-hour yoga teacher certificate. So I found a program or a school in Maui, and after I left Alaska, I went there and did a month in Maui
All
getting
right.
my
So, okay, another example of like, okay, I want to be a yoga teacher. So I could go down the street to the yoga studio that is offering the teacher training, but this could be an opportunity to do something yet again, even cooler. So you go to freaking Maui to get your yoga
Yeah, I
certification.
mean, I didn't want to take the plunge of going to like a full-on country, going to India. A lot of people do that, or Bali or something, and that was more expensive. I found a cost-wise, I was like, this is amazing. And for me, I needed to be fully immersed. I know you could do the weekends and do a long-standing thing, kind of do after work. I was like, that's not going to work for me. I have to go be fully immersed in all of it for it to really stick. And yeah, in that point, I mean, I'd been working seasonally already, like with the ski resort. I worked at a golf course before that too. So it was kind of like, yep, I worked all summer to pay for this and go do this. And like I said, being in my, earlier 20s, I didn't have a fear of like, well, after I spent all my money, what happens? I had the cushion of, okay, go to mom and dad's, reset and move somewhere else. Or there would be a few weeks to a month that I would kind of be like, what am I doing or something? And then I'd go off somewhere else, which is kind of what happened. I got back from Maui, and it wasn't too long after that I started looking for, I was just working in a coffee shop back in Tacoma and looking for opportunities for the next summer. And I found a yoga teaching job in Nicaragua for the summer. So I went there and I
I
didn't,
didn't even know that. Oh my God, that's freaking awesome.
I didn't speak a lick of Spanish, and I was like, well, let's go give it a go. And this, I went to this little resort. It was interesting. A lot of people own the homes there, and then so it's like timeshares, actually. It wasn't like a hotel or anything. This little gated community with a 9-hole golf course on it, right off the ocean, about an hour and a half from the main city. And yeah, so I spent 3 months there, making $8 a day and living off a credit card that I didn't physically have, like, because I could just type the number in at the little surf shop that we had there to get a few provisions, because I could only get to town once in a while. And lived off some frozen bananas and Gatorade that I'd watered down so I could make it last longer, because I could get to
Jeez.
the store like once every 3 weeks or something. And then it was after Nicaragua again. I come home. I'm like, okay, what's next? Get the opportunity to come down to California with a group of friends, and we decided to go up to Tahoe to see. There was a job fair for winter, so we're like, well, let's go see what happens there. Everyone got jobs, and we're like, all right, we're all moving to Tahoe for a winter, because we were all like, kind of trying to ski bum. And yeah, that was 2014, and then I haven't left Truckee full time. This is here where I met a friend of mine who was a fisherman, is a fisherman in Alaska. She runs her own boat, and her boyfriend or fiance also did and does. And yeah, I got hooked up from a, on a, with a friend of hers working on a tender, and I went up to Alaska for the summer. I didn't think I was going to come back to Tahoe, but then I was like, yeah, I want to go back there for the winter, and did Alaska again for the second summer. And yep, just kept coming back to Tahoe, where I thought it'd only be winters. But no, now it's been almost this was my 10th winter. I would always count the winters because I was gone a couple summers.
Right, but you're essentially there year round now.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Since 2017, I've been here year round.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just so interesting. I just like granted, both of us benefit from a lot of privilege, even if we're not from like wealthy generational wealthy families, you know, we're both white women, you know, like bad things haven't happened to us. So, but like, and lots and lots of people have that same privilege, but yet feel like they don't have privilege because they don't have money, or, you know, their parents are in the trades, or, you know, they have to go live in a basement somewhere or whatever. But like that in itself can be viewed as an enormous privilege. Like you have somewhere to go. And so you can actually do these things and take these risks and just like, and you're right. You never know where those are going to go. And like, I just love it. But I also know that it sounds awesome, but there's always like, but there's a lot of struggle that goes along with that. And you have to be a pretty resilient person to keep doing that, because, you know, even the best person, even the person who's got like, is the most resilient person, is the most flexible person, like all that moving around, all that change, all that, you know, like lugging shit in a fishing boat. I mean, there's some nasty days and weeks and months. So let's talk a little bit about the background stuff that maybe doesn't make itself. You, I love you because a lot of it does make its way onto Instagram and wherever, because you'll talk very more, much more openly, like, you know, my generation is like, God forbid we admit that we need help doing anything, and we're going to pretend everything's fine. And then we're just going to like be silently suffering our miserable existence for way too long before we do anything about it. I love the fact that women these days are a little bit more open about stuff. Talk a little bit about the background, and then also maybe why you got to the point where you wanted to start the podcast.
Yeah. Well, the background as far as like struggles in it,
Yeah, I guess like what, so you've gone to Hawaii, you've gone to Nicaragua, you've gone to Alaska a million times, you live in Tahoe, like what are the parts of it that are like, well, but you don't really stop to think about this when you see
totally.
The pictures of the beautiful snow and
the non-highlight reel,
the yoga like harness that, you know, and I'm living $8 a day and $8 a week.
I mean, as we know, right, life is so much of a highlight reel on social media, but like you mentioned as well, I do try to share the other parts of it. It's not all happy-go-lucky, and obviously from what I did for so long, you know, I was in the opposite position where I looked back at a point and I was like, wow, I fucked up here. Sorry, I don't know if you
as long as I throw my expletive on there, I'm like, you can say whatever the hell you want. I'm like, as soon as the F-bomb comes out or anything even close to it, I'm like, okay, bing, done.
Yeah. You
know, now my friends know not to listen to it in the car with their kids in the back. Yeah, it's fine. Totally.
Well, I messed up. You know, I was thinking because I didn't go to school. Here I am in my later 20s, slowing down. I've been in Tahoe now a couple years at this point where I'm starting to really have these thoughts of, okay, what's next? Now I'm not just hopping around seasonally. I have, in my opinion at the time, and I still go through these, is like nothing to show for it. Obviously experiences, right? But when you have a resume that at this point seems 10 pages long, and the longest thing's like 3 months, it's like, okay, so who's gonna hire me? Because they're thinking I'm just gonna jump on the next train out of here and go do something else as soon as the wind changes or something. So that was kind of hard, just thinking about, like, so like what's next? What do I want to settle down and do? Because now I've done all these different things, and like you said in the very beginning, have so many different interests that I had no idea how to kind of funnel it all into one thing. And if I did, how long was that going to last? You know, like, was that going to be something I could stick to forever? Because you still, even though I did all these different things and had all these experiences, the end goal still was like, get a steady, not end goal, but you know, what's put on you society wise vision was like, get a job that has a salary, get a house, married, kids, you know, all that. So I'm 28 or something, 29, like, that seems really, really far away.
You haven't figured out that all of those things are overrated yet.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, that was just hard to kind of think about. Like I said, I don't have a bachelor's degree. So what kind of job am I going to get now in my later 20s? Because everything says bachelor's degree. And great, I've got nothing. Nor do I have the experience in that, like in any of these salary jobs or whatnot. So it really just kind of messes with your head. Obviously, I know now that I just apply anyways, and experience can count so much more, and you can relate a lot of things to each other. Customer service, like what I did, being with people all the time and all these things. I had really good people skills and communication skills, But that took a long time for me to realize how I could get that, because you still need to get the opportunity to talk to someone. Putting things on paper, you know, that's usually the first step still. And if you can't get past that, then your chances are lower. And all of it, of course, was hard work. It seems amazing to be a guide and teach yoga and all that, but it's physically and mentally demanding working on a fishing boat, obviously. I worked on a tender, so we bought the fish, which meant also that the fishermen are out all day fishing usually, and then they start to come into us towards the evening and night. So it was a and we're kind of on call. We might be working all night, but a fisherman decided he wanted to go to bed, and so he's going to come first thing in the morning to sell his fish. So sleep is very interesting, and it's not always like consistent. And in the height of the season in July, I think our longest workday was 20 hours just straight of,
I was
yeah,
gonna say there's no darkness to like cue everybody that like maybe let's like back off for a minute, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it took our captain falling asleep at the crane, like mid-transfer, to be like, oh, we're done. We gotta like, we need a break. We're gonna go sleep for an hour and then we'll come
Yeah.
back out, because it was just crazy day. And then you're on a boat. I was on a big boat, and I'm lucky enough to have my own stateroom because of it being a tender. But yeah, it's hard work. And again, mentally challenging, because since we were kind of on call, we didn't have days off. Really, if we got to go to the paddle to the beach, because we were just in the ocean the whole time, we rarely docked. And yeah, you couldn't really get away and just feel like, I've got the whole day to myself or whatever. That becomes mentally challenging. And talking to your friends who are out having fun, because again, you're like at this point, mid-20s, cool. I'm not like biking or camping and having so much fun with my friends. But again, yeah, that all sounds a little trivial and
No, it
whatnot.
doesn't,
Like,
because
but
there is not a
everyone
single person on this
understands. Yeah.
earth, including the people I live with, that I gave birth to in some cases, that I could tolerate 24/7
Yeah.
for like months on end. No
Yeah.
way.
I got really close to leaving one time, just breaking down, calling my dad, and we had another tender tied up to us. I was going to town. I was like, I'm getting on that boat. I'm out of here. Like, I was, because, yeah, like you said, being around the same people 24/7, I was. Had it over my captain, done with you. Like, because he
Yeah.
couldn't say no to anyone. It was always, yes, we'll do this, yes, we'll do that. Like, no, we need a break. But yeah, there's that side to everything. And like I said, through it all, because of the way I was living, it's not like I was like stacking cash. First of all, this conversation has been more popular and talked about lately too, is finances, and especially women with finances. I don't think it's necessarily for me like a woman thing, but just from where I came from and my upbringing, my family said, yeah, we didn't have a lot of money and we lived kind of like paycheck to paycheck. So yeah, I never really got taught kind of saving and this and that. So it was paycheck to paycheck. And when I didn't have that job, I was like, okay, gotta go work again. So yeah, I never had my own kind of cushion or anything. So like I said, that was pretty stressful. Like after work, like, oh yeah, what's next? So I think about that a lot too, of dang, I wish I had some better skills, because I'm 35 now, almost like 36, and I still struggle with figuring out my finances and still work multiple jobs to try to get it right, because I don't make the best, choices
Yeah.
as far as financing.
Well,
But
but I mean like that and that's a wicked good point to bring up, because I do think that, you know, some of us take for granted, because and you know, like in my cases, like my parents were not super great with money either, but it's like, but I had my first couple of jobs, as horrible and boring and not engaging as they were, like for what, you know, somebody would come talk to you about the opportunity for 401k or something, or they'd like essentially force you to put like 1% of your check into something, you know, and it's like at the time you don't think anything of it. And then, you know, flash forward to being in my 50s, I'm like, God damn it. Thank God. You know what I mean? Because I could totally see, like, you just start doing that. And I have friends that are in the same boat. Like they've had amazing lives and experiences. And I don't feel like it needs to necessarily be one or the other, but it would be helpful if you got the right kind of education at the right time in your life to like make it so you could have both, you know? So that's a really, really good point that I don't think a lot of people appreciate. It's like, okay, you know, that's awesome. I was living out of my Tacoma or whatever, but like I also had no access to any of the things that can compound and make my future better. And so, like, you know, and I mean, I'm living through right now paying for my own health care and that health insurance, and that's a bitch and a half. You know, I mean, that's the piece of it that nobody tells you either. Like, oh shit, wow, that's really expensive. And then you have kids and you really can't decide, you can't take that chance to go without like health insurance, even if you're healthy. You know, it's just like,
Yeah. Well, that's
damn.
where I think that's why it was, you know, that 28 kind of age that everything really started hitting me of kind of thinking like, did I make the right choices here? I am like only 28 thinking that, but it's because here, you know, in the US we hit that, I'm not sure what it is now, but for me it was at 25.
Yeah, I think it was like
I
26.
wasn't
You get
covered. Yeah.
booted. Yeah.
Yeah, 26. Yeah, because so I knew at 26, like, yep, no more health insurance. And yeah, like I said, didn't have this bachelor's degree in my back pocket or anything. I didn't have a cushion as far as money. My sense of security has always been that I'll move back in with my parents. But you know, like I can always go there. At least I have a roof that I can go to if I need it. But
You
there
get to a
wasn't
certain
a
age, and that's just like not what you want
yeah,
to do either. You know, you have
exactly.
a life, and it's like, oh,
Yeah.
hi, Mom.
But it was still like,
Yeah, here I
you
am
know,
with my friends and my
yeah.
boyfriend. And
It's like, of course, it's how lucky to have that security to know that if shit hit the fan, that I could go there and have, like I said, have a roof over my head and be able to be fed. But they sure as heck weren't going to be like, here, I'll pay all
yeah,
your
move back in forever.
bills.
Yeah,
Yeah. And like,
exactly.
it's like, here, I can have a sandwich, you know, and dinner. But I still need to figure out how to pay my bills. So yeah, like I said, that was always the biggest struggle. None of this was ever like big money making things, as most people know who do these things in the industry, guides and stuff like that. You're doing it for largely for the experience. You enjoy doing whatever that is. Like my second job in Alaska, the second summer that I was guiding, I was sea kayaking as well and ziplining. And so, yeah, I got to be on the ocean and like every day, I mostly did the kayaking and occasionally some bike tours. So I was always hopping around to these jobs where it put me in the experience, because that's the only way I could have the experience. Because I wasn't going out and doing a yoga retreat and enjoying that side of things. I wasn't going on this tour or going on a big bike packing trip or something like that, because I never was able to, I didn't have that financial like security to do that. I had to have the experience while working. So that's where, again, a lot of I still think like that's kind of what's engraved in me. I feel like to get into anything I want to do or have an interest in, I end up working in or around it first, because that's just what I'm used to, is working it and seeing it from that side, and still not really on the full point of vacations and co totally enjoying something. You know, that every time I've been to Utah, it's because I'm helping work a retreat and I barely have a day there where I get to go hike or bike or something on my own. So I'm hoping to get to that point someday. Like,
No,
okay,
that's
I
another
want to go to
awesome.
Utah for the weekend to
Yeah.
bike myself, not because I'm going to work this retreat and I'm driving 8 hours, working the whole time, driving 8 hours back and then straight back to work. Like,
Right.
no time in between. That's again just something kind of ingrained in me. I do love to be on the working side of things. I like to put it together because I like to give people the experience, and I just keep putting that as the priority over like trying to have my own.
Right. Well,
But
and that's exhausting. I mean, like, it doesn't matter how many people skills you have, like holding space for people and being responsible for somebody else's good time all the time,
yeah.
exhausting. Like, even for a short
Exactly.
period of time, it's exhausting. So it's like, even if you did tack on a day at the end, like I find that when I go to events, it's like, even if you did tack on a day at the end, like all you do is like sleep. You're not enjoying it
Yeah.
because you're like, wow, I am like tapped out.
Exactly. Like, it's the emotional part. And so even with being a personal trainer, which is kind of like you said, in my later 20s where I came to, when I started to think, what am I going to do now? I'm in Tahoe like full time, and I went back to, you know, maybe going back to school for that kinesiology degree I never got, being a physical therapist. Tahoe is a mecca of athletes. So I was like, that's who the people I'd want to work with if I was a physical therapist, is athletes and healing them through injuries and getting them back on the bike, on the snow, or whatever it is. But it's like, let's see, you know, let me dip my toes back in kind of the learning environment, and I'm going to get my personal training certificate. And I found I really, really enjoyed that and loved doing that. But yeah, it was again just another thing that's like something I enjoy, so I turn it into work, like working out and fitness
Right,
and all of that.
which is the, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that like you've continued to enjoy these things enough, but it's true that like once you turn something into work, then it's work, it's not play
Well,
anymore.
then and it leads
So
to
what are you doing now too? Tell
burnout.
me like how this whole thing is like come together to like where you are at this point in time.
So I was personal training, working at several different gyms in the area, and then COVID hit. And I also, through that, I was teaching yoga as well at the same time. And one of the yoga studios I worked at did pad offered paddleboard yoga, and it was awesome. We used a company's paddleboards, Tahoe City Kayak. They do kayak tours and rentals and whatnot. So we worked together with them, and I was in Truckee, Tahoe City. It's like, I don't know, 25 minutes away or something. Not a huge deal, but I would like drive there in the morning, do a tour, come back to Truckee, work in the gym or something, and just so much back and forth. And I love being on the water, which is also why I went and became like worked on the fishing boat. Like, it's crazy that you'd think my love for water doesn't mean I want to work on a this crazy hard work on a commercial fishing boat, but I tie all these things in together, like I said. So anyways, I wanted to kind of do it on my own. And it was before 2020 that I bought some paddle boards, and I was still working with the same yoga studio, but now we had the capability of going elsewhere and not just stationary at this one beach. Like, we could do private events and whatnot. So it was kind of, yeah, contracting, getting contracted out through them. Then COVID hit, and I had to kind of completely figure it out on my own. The gym's obviously closed, so I started doing boot camp classes outside, working with my clients just at my house. At this point, it had been a couple of years that I was able to start collecting some of my own equipment, obviously way less than in a gym. But yeah, I just had people come over to my house and work out outside. We had a big driveway and yard, so I had plenty of room there, and I'd do classes at the park. And then with paddleboard yoga and fitness, obviously you're outside, so it's much easier to do the like social distancing and all that. And I did that for a couple summers, and I was just exhausted after just 2 years of it. And again, the financial thing, super unstable. As a personal trainer, you know, clients come and go. You have more regularity in classes. People will weekly go to the same class forever and ever. But personal training, I mean, the goal is not to do it forever. The goal is to get your client to a point that they can do it on their own, and they're getting their own routine. And, you know, some clients would go on their own and they come back just to kind of touch base and get back on track or something, or reach new goals and then go off on their own again. But I was just so stressed financially with the insecurity of it that I was ready to kind of find something more permanent. And I was also working at a gear shop just on the floor as a sales associate at the same time of all this. And the opportunity came up to take a bigger role in doing the marketing and being on the sales floor. And so I took that. It was split between working the sales floor and doing the marketing, but it was full time and salaried. And I kind of put all the training and stuff on the back burner because I was like, I just need to, for once in my life, do one thing and have a regular paycheck biweekly, know exactly what I'm getting paid. So I know these bills are getting paid and it's not every month's a surprise. So I did that, but it was very quickly that I was like, oh, I miss doing 500 other things. So I'm still with that
Yes.
store. I'm still, but that has moved to full-time marketing. Well, 32 hours. Because I wanted to have some extra time to do my things on the side. So yeah, in that I haven't been training clients much lately, especially here in the winter, but I'll mostly do remote training now, come up with a program for people. And I use different apps that they can get the workout. They go to the gym that they want. I didn't want to be affiliated with a gym anymore after like getting burnt by some and just the construct of what it is to train at a gym. And so today I am mostly doing the marketing for this store, and I have my podcast, which I'll talk about how it got started. And every once in a while I end up picking like up another odd job for a short amount of time, helping put some events together, working with retreats if that opportunity continues to come up. And maybe in the summer again, doing some more paddleboard yoga and training outside. But
Yeah, and how do you feel about that? Like how is it making you feel to have that a little bit of stability in the background? I mean, is that been a positive thing overall?
yeah, it's definitely been positive. So it's like, and I hate using this word, but there's just nothing else like the balance, right? So finding some balance where you have some stability, security, but you also have room for flexibility and freedom. And that's just, yeah, you know, things change when you work for someone. I've always struggled with that aspect too of working for one person for an extended amount of time. That I just ultimately, the dream would be to like just work for myself. And obviously, in a freelance way where I can choose clients or people that I work with, but just to have more flexibility and be able to do different things, and not feel locked down in one or guilty about my time over here or there or whatnot. But
But you are
yeah,
in a
it's
unique position to know what the challenges around that are. I mean, I
yeah.
think that it's like there's trade-offs to everything, and it's like you had a very extremely long, great run of really interesting, unique, different experiences. And so I would think, for me at least, I would need a little breathing room once in a while to just be like, okay.
Yeah, and so it definitely allowed me that, you know, and like I said, I did that for a bit and then I was like, okay, I do miss having some other things, but learning to find out, I guess, what those kind of side hobbies could be without having to make everything a job is
Right,
hard. So
right.
I had wanted to start a podcast for years and years, like almost a decade. Me and a couple of friends used to always talk about it. And then, you know, I moved to Tahoe and I still thought about it on my own, but I didn't have these two buddies around that where we would just like talk about random stuff. We had no idea what we would do. We just wanted to talk to each other. But then, yeah, it was always in the back of my mind. And one day, one of my other friends, she was starting a podcast, and I was like, oh my God, I was so proud of her. And I was like, I had no idea she ever even wanted to start one. Like, that's so cool. And she's just doing it. And then I was like, well, why don't I just do it? And yeah, I was like, okay, I want to do it. I started thinking of a name, and but I was like, I don't have one topic because, as you've all heard from my life, obviously I don't stick to one thing. So I was like, how the heck can I have a podcast when I don't know what, like, I can't, it's not going to be about one thing. And how will anyone find it? Or if it's different every week, like, you know, everyone says niche down, niche down. So I just had no idea. It took me a while. And like I said, finally I called a friend and I was going back up to Washington. I was like, hey, will you just have a conversation with me? Like, can we just record it and let's just see what happens? And so we intermittently like recorded and just like shooting the shit, talking about our lives, kind of just to get reps under our belt of what it felt like to talk to the ether. And because it feels kind of weird at first. And then especially the weirdest and hardest thing is like actually hitting publish and letting people hear your voice out there. And then especially when you're like, I'm just rambling, what the heck. But yeah, it took us a little bit before we got, I think this was October 2021, and like I said, it was, we'd go a month without talking, it'd be a 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, super random. And we finally got into a weekly cadence, and then we started by asking people we knew really close to our circle, our friends, to be on the podcast. And eventually I just started reaching out to people because of what I've done and been in the outdoor industry so much and have a lot of connections. I just started reaching out to people and they were saying yes. And I was like, wait,
I know. I'm like, do you know that like not that many people listen to this, but I don't
Yeah,
know.
because
I'm
you're
always kind of like,
also, well, exactly. You're thinking about these people are, you know, they could be on such a larger stage than what I have to offer them. And then they're not even asking for those things, like for the your numbers, your downloads, this, that, or the other. So I'm like, okay, that's awesome. But then I just get in my own head of like, they should be heard by the masses,
right.
and they're not. So then I almost feel bad or guilty, like I should wait until I have a bigger audience so that they're actually heard. But
The thing about podcasting, and this is why, like, I mean, obviously, as you know, and we can talk about it or not, but like, it's a grind. Like, once you start getting into it, when you want to be consistent, and I've definitely backed off my cadence lately, just because I've been doing it for 4 years, and I just don't like, I'm not structured enough. And I don't want to put out crap, so I'm kind of like, all right, now when I have something to say, or when I have got somebody that I want to share, I'm going to. And I've almost started thinking about it more like, because the downloads will go up and down, because I don't do anything to market it, and I suck at a lot of things, and I self-sabotage. But I'm also like, you know what? Podcasting is an amazing medium because it's out there in the ether forever. Like, it's out there forever. So it's like, and you're kind of like me. You talk to people and it's pretty evergreen. Like, you're having conversations with these people that like are just going to be just as relevant in, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Like, I mean, there's been a few people who have like, gone on to a different business or maybe changed the name of their guiding or whatever. But like, bottom line, they're still cool people who who have something to say, and there's still something to be taken away from it. And I'm like, you know what? I get people that will listen to stuff that I recorded like 4 years ago. Like they find one podcast and then they'll listen to like every biking podcast that I've ever done or whatever. You can see it, you know? And I'm like, all right, that's cool. It's a cool thing.
Well, and that's what they say all the time. They say like the podcast experts, I guess, but often, and I do this myself, when you find a new podcast and maybe you listen to that first episode, right? Whoever sends it to you or you found it, whatever. And it might be right in the middle or the latest one, but then you're going to go back like, well, let's see. I mean, I've started podcasts from the beginning that are years old because like you said, these kinds of conversations, these are the podcasts that I listen to as well. So it's still, maybe there's a few things that are irrelevant. Like I just had Cassie Abel of Wild Rye on my podcast. So when she talks about her spring 24 launch and someone listens to that, you know, next year, like that's not going to be relevant to them. But everything else, the story behind the business is still going to be the story behind the business.
Doesn't make her any less cool. Yeah. Exactly.
And if anything, it's going to make, okay, the next time she's on, they're like, okay, we're caught up. What's happening now in the business? But again, those things aren't going to become completely irrelevant down the line. And it's just funny being, you know, just have to remind yourself that, because again, it's just getting in your own head and doubting yourself about these things and kind of finding any reason to like not do it or whatnot. So yeah, we've been 2.5 years now recording. Like I said, it wasn't until really the first full year that we were on that weekly cadence, largely focused around the outdoor industry and women. Because as I say, it's like when my co-host and I, Amber, when we just have our TNA episodes, we call them, where it's just us talking about life, you know, our goal is just to be able to relate
to
people.
Which is the best theme name ever. And, yeah, and actually, totally. We should say, and I will say this in the intro as well, but like, we haven't even said the name of your podcast yet. It's called Tearing It Up. Tearing It Up. I love it.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I love a good pun.
Yeah, totally. So, but you know, our goal is just to relate to people and, you know, talk about every day. Like I said, it looks like maybe things are great. Pictures are great. I live in a beautiful place, but yeah, it's not always smooth sailing, that's for sure.
I know. Well, and I just like, I actually really enjoy listening to you guys talk to, or I shouldn't say, I say you guys because that's what
we say,
women of my age, but I mean you ladies. Yeah. It's just fun listening to the two of you talk to each other because, you know, it's like over time, you know, it's like getting a window into just like where you are in your lives. Mm-hmm. And it's relatable, even if I'm not having the same struggles that, you know, maybe you or Amber are having. It's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like shit happens, you know,
yep.
And you have good intentions or you want to do this and then you can't, or like, yeah, you know, I mean, because Amber's got a kid and she's going through a breakup and like just listening to all that stuff. I'm like, oh, man, that's like, and you just, I don't know. I just love, I guess that's why I just love listening to podcasts because I just like the storytelling behind it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not necessarily telling a story, but you're learning a story about somebody
it's
else,
just
you know?
Yeah. Just the real stuff, right? That, and even if you're not going through it right now, maybe you have, and maybe it hasn't been the exact same, but you can relate to the feelings that it creates, that that story creates, or, you know, you might go through that like down the line.
Right. Yeah.
You, it's just a little nugget to remember that, hey, other people obviously go through it.
Yeah.
And those are just things that we never think about when it's happening to us, right? It's only happening to
no
us.
Matter
it's
what's
never happened
going.
To anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're not alone in
yeah.
having that experience. Like pretty much nothing is new in this world. Like every bad thing or what good thing that happens is probably happened to somebody else at another time. So
I held back from saying it was like an outdoor centric podcast for a long time because it was just us talking, but then, you know, after talking with other people and kind of trying to find an elevator pitch or whatnot, it's like Amber and I love the outdoors. And I just say it's kind of people, the souls are rooted in it. We might talk to folks whose business isn't in the outdoor industry, you know, a mental health coach or something, but they themselves, we relate to them because that's what we do to get out of our heads and to have fun is be in the outdoor spaces. So it's like I said, kind of centered around the souls, outdoor souls. But not every podcast is just strictly talking about the outdoors or outdoor industry or bike riding or snowboarding or anything.
I know. But like when you're talking about like training for things or like setting goals or, you know, and it's like, All right, so maybe you don't listen to every single one, but like there's definitely things that you can pick up in each one that just make it
Yeah.
like, oh, that was really fun, or that was a good, I mean, because like not everything has to be educational. Not everything has to be
Exactly.
like, it's just
I
like
listen to
whatever.
enough educational things. That's why I like listening to podcasts where it's just
Yeah.
conversations like this, because if you're driving or working from home, it just feels like people, you're just listening in with your friends, right? You can laugh along with them, and it just in the moment that you're listening makes you feel like you're not just sitting alone or doing whatever. Because yeah, I work from home in my trailer in our
Which
fifth
is
wheel.
pretty freaking sweet, actually. Like, that thing is like way nicer than my house. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's pretty
There's
nice.
a
We
reason my
definitely
background is grayed,
yeah.
okay?
Well, this is like, it's probably a little bit hard to tell, but there used to be like some doors on there and a TV, but a bear got in this summer and tore that all apart. Tore our door off,
Holy
tore
shit.
that pantry open, ate everything in
Were
the
you
joint.
there?
No, we were out of town.
Oh my God.
The
Thank
first
God you
summer,
weren't there.
yeah. Well, if we were here, I don't think you would have come, but the first year we were here, we didn't have any problems. We obviously know that we live in bear country here in Tahoe, especially where we are. Like I said, we're not completely in the back country, but we're a bit out there. We have a lot of land around us, and we know the risks. But like I said, we live here full time, so we're gonna have food in here.
Right.
But we hadn't seen much bear activity at all in the summer or anything, and until then. And he went to our neighbors too at a different time. Both two of our neighbors hit them, when they're just gone at work or something. So it bears break into houses here, like full blown
Yeah, and
houses.
this
So
is like
it's not.
actually disturbing to me because like I remember when we went to Yellowstone and my husband kept trying to tell me, "Oh yeah, well, if you have a hard side, there's like those hard side camper
Yeah.
like places that you camp." But now you're telling me it doesn't fucking matter if you have a hard side. The
No.
thing's just gonna come
Oh yeah, like
in
I could.
your trailer.
If you look, I think I had it on one of the Instagrams. I can't remember if it's my personal or the podcast. Like it looks way worse than it was because it's just a mess, because literally any kind of food is everywhere. And the door, it was the front door that was so bad because he literally just tore through it and ripped it off. But so we lived with a plywood door for a month or two and bungeed that shut to our sink. And he
Oh my
came in during that
God.
time too, but we put cameras up and everything, and all our neighbors were on alert because, like I said, they were getting into.
Well, once he gets in once, then it's like, they
And it
always they
was.
tell us a fed bear is a dead bear out here,
Yeah.
but like,
It was
Ooh.
feeding season for sure. He's getting
Yeah.
ready to get as full as he can to go hibernate. But yeah, in town, we'd have them in our yard all the time, eating our apples. And like I said, around Tahoe, you'll see them in like mansions. Okay. So no matter what, a bear is going to get in, because a lot of people tried to give me flack on the internet. And I'm like, dude, no, we know what we're
Yeah.
doing. If this was a full blown, the house of our dreams we have built here, he still could have got in, because if no one's home and food's in there, he's going to find a way to do it. And no one empties their entire house when they go to work or on,
Oh my
a couple day
God.
vacation or whatever. But yeah, so we live on our property that we got in 2020, and then in 2022 we finally made the move up here, bought the fifth wheels, because we were like, nothing's gonna get done if we're not there. So it's just been a bunch of dirt moving right now because it's completely raw. So we have a solar generator and then a gas generator and Starlink satellite
I was going
internet.
to say,
So
and you have some pretty kick-ass Wi-Fi, I got to tell you.
yeah, well, I actually hotspot on Zoom because on it's we can stream all day on this Starlink and whatnot, but as soon as I put Zoom on, it likes to randomly cut out, so I usually hotspot. But yeah, it's fun. Well, it's been almost 2 years that we've been in the trailer. We always have, have hopes of getting a bigger structure up soon or this summer, but obviously lots of work. Our land is not the easiest to dig in or move. We have a lot of rock and slate and things to get through. But yeah, we're figuring it out, having a good time. And last winter was the biggest winter I think like ever almost.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time here in
Seriously,
Tahoe.
there's like 100 million inches of snow, wasn't
Yeah, I
there?
can't remember off the top of my head how many inches we had last year, but for like a month it seemed like we just had back-to-back 4 foot, storms. This year we haven't had as much at all, but lots of snow removal. We have a tractor with a blower on it though, so that because our road from where we're at, like our driveway where our cars are in front of our trailer, to the pavement is a half mile.
Oh my
And we're not
God.
responsible for the whole half mile. Our neighbors split part of that with us, but between us and one of our neighbors, like my boyfriend and one of the neighbors and his brother, they do the most of that snow removal this year. They got a big break with it, but yeah, lots of shoveling and whatnot in the winters because we're at 7,300 feet.
Wow, lots of roof
Yeah,
raking, I would imagine. I was
totally.
like, we don't need the things to start coming in through the top too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nuts. So that explains why. And tell me a little bit about and I won't keep you too much longer because this
Oh,
is
you're
already we're
fine.
already going on and on, but
Yeah.
the Dovetail Alliance. So you
Oh, yeah.
interviewed them recently, which is so awesome. And you are you an ambassador? Are you working for them? Like just kind of have.
I'm an ambassador for them,
Yep.
and I also work for them. So I became
Oh,
an
nice.
ambassador first, and then the opportunity came up to be a sales rep in the Southwest Territory, which is California, Arizona, and Nevada. And I took that on the side. And so, yeah, I do a little bit of that too. So I love them. I mean, I found the brand, I think, in 2019. And then when the opportunity came up to be an ambassador, I was like, heck yes. And
Yeah,
same reason
I
as
want
when
to
it,
order some pants or something because I'm
yeah,
like, those
love
look
them.
awesome and I need to upgrade my work wardrobe for sure.
Yeah, they're so great. So great. And the company is awesome. Kate Day is the founder. She's a co-founder, but she's the one that I had on the podcast. We weren't able to get Sarah, one of the other ones, on. But Kate's amazing. I had the chance to meet her when I went up to Washington last summer because their headquarters are in Portland, Oregon. So on my drive up, well, I just drove down there one day to be able to meet her in person because I was working for her now. So what a cool opportunity again. Just thinking about it is a plus of doing 500 things is I've gotten to meet so many people. And now with my podcast and kind of, again, not niching down per se, but realizing I have these connections and using them to my advantage instead of feeling guilty about it or that I'm using people or something, because I just think way too much. But yeah,
Yeah, taking
I'm
advantage of
gonna.
those relationships. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
'cause
been, and
that's
that's what
the,
it's for.
yeah, that's
That's why you network and do
exactly.
these different things. And so, yeah, it's been really great finally kind of putting all the pieces together. And I'm just continuing to do that. But Dovetail makes women's workwear, and it is just the best. It's so comfy. Every pair of pant has like stretch to it, so you can actually move in it. The most difficult thing I have is with sizing and times, just because between different styles with any pant or company, rather, with different styles and fits, the size might be a little bit different. But they've always been so great with kind of helping figure that out. And I mean, if they're in a lot of retailers now too, and so we say this a lot on our podcast, but if you go into a store and you're looking for a brand, the biggest thing you can do to help a brand out to get more exposure for them is to tell that local store that you love, like, hey, do you carry, Dovetail? And putting it in their brain like that, because if they hear it straight from the customer that it's wanted, then they're more likely to reach out. Because as a rep, I got a cold call stores and they're like, yeah, no.
Right.
But then
Yeah.
someone comes in and asks for it and they're like, hey, what was that Dovetail
Right.
girl's name again?
Right.
But yeah, a lot of companies obviously are trying to still be in the retail space and not just direct to consumer. And yeah, if you any brand that you love and you want to see in a store, the most helpful thing to do is go into your local stores and ask for it.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, because I don't
What's
know off the top of my head where you could find some around you,
I
Jen.
know. I'm gonna have to look online.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to be a sales rep for New England on the side if they
Yeah,
don't already have one. So
totally.
where, like, what is their range? What's their size range that they?
0 to 28, I
Wow, so
believe.
that's not bad at all. That's
Yeah, and
awesome.
then they also the more kind of the less common thing is their inseams are 28 inches to 34. You do
Nice.
not see those options, those in women's a lot. Actually, gosh, I have a weird feeling they might have went to 36 even in a couple pairs in inseam that is, but I know 34 is for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
So yeah,
awesome.
a big range, and they actually just did a whole retool sizing, which means from size 16 and up, they changed their size grading because they were getting a lot of feedback that those bigger sizes, especially like in the 20s, were not true to size. They were smaller. So they took that feedback and they have retooled it so that it is truer to other brands and things, which I think is amazing because it just shows how they are listening and made the changes. So, and I can attest that I tried a 16 and it was definitely like a size bigger than it was before. So I'm like, okay, yeah, they listened here, and hopefully it is truer in those bigger sizes, like in the 20s. But having a brand who's actually listening, I mean, the founders themselves are reading the reviews.
Yeah, that's
And so
awesome.
that's the joy of a small business. And on one hand, on the pro side, is that they're directly involved with the customer feedback and whatnot, and they're listening. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was cool listening to that the podcast that you did with them too, because it is. I love listening to business stories in general, and so you've had a lot of good ones on lately. So
Yeah,
I'm
thank you.
gonna link it up and make sure everybody checks out Tearing It Up podcast. So all right, what did we forget to talk about?
I don't think
I think we
anything.
covered a lot of ground. I have one more question I'm gonna
Yeah.
ask you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not even gonna talk about Sturdy Dirty because I was just listening to that earlier and I'm like all excited right now. And I'm like, I gotta start my own like little Funder race around here. Maybe not an
Yeah.
Enduro race. It sounds a little
Yeah.
hardcore, but I'm like, that would be fun.
You
But
should do it.
anyway, I'll save that for another day. Favorite piece of gear that you own that you paid less than $50 for?
Less than 50 bucks. Okay,
Preferably you bought
this
it
is gonna
new.
be hard because I have to, being in the outdoor industry, I do have access to a lot of deals, right? So I got,
Preferably not something you use a pro deal on,
I
though.
know,
Or
that's what I was thinking.
like,
That's why,
yeah.
okay, I gotta think about some things here. I mean, I'm like looking around,
Just
like,
looking around.
what is here? What is here? Like, honestly, this, I feel like this is so little, but a headlamp. I
Not
mean,
little at all. That is actually a very common answer because they are. It's
really,
like,
yeah, I
could you
keep, well,
really
it's
cut? It's hard
one
to
of
think
those
of anything
things
that's, yeah, not more
under
useful,
50,
honestly.
yeah,
Yeah.
and under 50, even those these days aren't, but I keep one in my truck all the time, and often when I go travel, even when I'm like going somewhere for a work trip or I'm gonna be in a hotel or going home, I put one in my bag because I'm like, I never know when, you know, the power might go out, and I've
Right.
got my headlamp, so my headlamp and Leatherman, you know, I try not to leave without.
No, absolutely. But put your Leatherman in your check bag, not in
Yeah,
your
exactly.
backpack. I lost one that way. Yeah, no, that's a really good one. And actually, it is a good recommendation. I was traveling with my mom not that long ago, and we were in this hotel room, and we accidentally like pulled the whole freaking outlet out of the wall, and we're plunged into darkness. And like, there's really nothing darker than inside hotel room.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, this is really troubling. And then you have to just sit there with the door open to the hallway and wait for someone to come
And I
and.
mean, I guess these days, obviously, like a lot of people have a flashlight on their phone, but if you're actually trying to do something with two hands, it's pretty hard to use that. And a lot of headlamps these days are also rechargeable. So you're going to have a block of some sort, or outlets have USBs in them now too. Or you can charge it in your car or something. So I always go for the rechargeable headlamps now
What's your
so that I
brand of
can change it.
choice?
Black Diamond.
Black Diamond, yeah. All
Yeah,
right.
Petzl's good, but I think Black Diamond was just the first one that I came across that had the recharge, and so I've just stuck with Black Diamond. And
Yes.
I love our Black Diamond reps also, so I just
Yeah.
love I love them and
This
the
is
brand.
yes, this is coming from somebody who should know. So that's
Yeah.
good. All right, Taryn. Well, this has been awesome. I appreciate you spending all this time with me this morning because this is fun and it was cool to get to hear you talk about all this stuff because I don't know. I enjoy listening to you talk in our little meetings and stuff too, but we got to do more of a deep dive because most of the time we're just sitting there listening. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like we connected, you know, months ago, but like you said, we don't know each other super well. So I'm really grateful that you asked me to be on so I could talk to you more. And now it's gonna have to be your turn on my show so I can
No,
hear
I don't have
from
any good stories to
you.
tell.
Please, you've had this podcast for 4 years. I'm sure you've talked to obviously amazing people, and to see where your journey is and what you're doing now too, because I'd love to hear, yeah, how You talked about kind of a linear path in the beginning of for yourself, and but
My
so how do
linear
you get
path
to
is, yeah. Let me
podcasting
just give you, I'll give you a fast track on that one. I have all those credentials and I still can't find a real job that I like. So don't worry
later?
about it. You're good.
Yeah, I'll forget about the paper for now. I think I'm over it now, but
Exactly. All
I
there
did
any
have a
job
hard
I've ever
time.
had that's been worth having, I've gotten through a relationship, not the resume. So
Yeah, that's
there
why
you
and
go.
the networking people to people so fun. That's what I love LinkedIn for. I've been really connecting through a lot of people. That's been an amazing resource. So I think anyone out there who is trying, especially in that, well, any industry, obviously, but this is like outdoor industry here that we're talking about. There's a lot of people in the outdoor industry on there. It is a really, really great way to
Yeah.
connect to
It's
people.
not just
So
for
I'd
old
highly,
people working for like Intel. Like lots of people in lots of
It
different
has
industries work
changed
are up there
so
now.
much in the
Yeah.
last few years. So I highly recommend if you don't have a LinkedIn profile that you spend more time on there than any other socials if you're really trying to break through and start reaching out to people and just following them so you can connect with them on somewhat of a personal level. It's still way more business, but again, you're not just like doesn't feel as much of a cold call. You're like, okay, we relate on this article that they shared or something like that.
Right.
So really cool platform. Except if you're trying to make moves in the outdoor industry from
Yep.
wherever you're at or break in, like get on there and just check it
Get on
out.
there, find some other cool women doing cool shit, and then connect with them. Yes,
Absolutely.
absolutely. All right, Taryn, well, take it easy. Thank you again.
Yeah,
And listen
thank
to the
you.
Taryn Up podcast
Yep.
on any podcast player that you, I don't know, that you listen to.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome.
Awesome, Jen.
If you agree that Taryn would be the coolest online fitness coach and trainer ever, you can check out her offerings on her business site, tkoyogafit.com, or connect directly with her on Instagram at taryn.k.o. She's TK Yoga Fit on Facebook or Taryn O'Donnell on LinkedIn. And of course, you most definitely should click on over to the Taryn It Up podcast right now and subscribe or follow, maybe even queue up a few for this weekend's drive up to wherever you're going to be adventuring once the stupid weather blows through. You're welcome for introducing you to a new adventure bestie in your earbuds. And before I take off, a little change of plans I wanted to alert you to. If you're listening to this in April 2024, we are changing up the Guides Gone Wild last Tuesday virtual meetup this month because I've got some work travel. So instead of being on the last Tuesday, we will be gathering the second to last Tuesday, April 23rd. And instead of Zoom, we will be meeting in person at the True North Taproom in Ipswich, Mass. I'm taking a page out of Taryn's playbook and throwing in a little local business support. Plus, coming off Trish and my cold dip on International Women's Day, I want to find some crazy locals to do some local dipping with me. So I hope some of you will join us in person at True North Ale Company, 116 County Road in Ipswich on Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm thinking we can start a little earlier than usual at 6:30 because it's a Tuesday, so the place closes at 8, and I don't want to be one of those jerks who overstays their welcome. So head on over to guidesgonewild.com/meet for more info. That's it. We've done the thing. Hope you'll join me again in a few for more inspiring words with another guide gone wild.